Thanks for joining A&M Conversation With, a podcast series featuring Alvarez and Marsal leaders discussing the trends impacting businesses today.
On this episode of A&M Conversation With, Managing Director Dr. David Gruber sits down with Managing Director Mark Finucane, both from our healthcare industry group, to discuss key elements of a successful population health program.
Thanks, Mark, for joining us today. We will be discussing population health, a frequently used buzzword. Mark, a couple of questions. What is the definition of population health, and is it a passing fancy, or will it stick around in the longer term?
The definition that I like to use is that it is a set of principles or a collection of programs that are designed to improve the health outcomes and or health status of a large group of people. This development, this population health paradigm in today's healthcare industry is not a passing fancy. And I think our clients, patients, funders, anybody associated with the industry really has to understand that this is a permanent change in the policy landscape that I think all of us will benefit from, but it's going to be a very arduous set of processes to make the change.
And what are the implications for a hospital CEO today, hospital and health system CEOs today?
Well, here's an example. Newly appointed CEO begins to sit down with a nursing leadership, medical staff leadership, trainers, however you want to phrase, the people that actually provide or design the care that's provided, and talk about the environment and how your ecosystem that you control is going to be affected by those changes and how you can meet them. Under the new circumstances, I think the sophisticated CEO is going to shortly thereafter, if not first, meet with the community affected by that institution or that healthcare system and begin to talk through with them, and by that I mean to say community-based organizations, education leaders, corporate leaders, anybody who is going to have their health affected by that healthcare system, meet with them, get their input, and begin to get them to think of themselves as assets that can be actualized to improve the health status of the population that everybody is responsible for, not just the people that work in the ED.
So are we moving from a silo, healthcare silo, to the community at large?
I think without a doubt. I think all of us are having our definitions of health status, health improvement, health outcome changed dramatically by what's going on in the industry. And that means no longer looking at the organ for which I am responsible, but all of a sudden thinking of not just the patient, but the neighborhood from which the patient comes, or the city in which the patient resides, or the school system in which the patient spends 90%, 95%, 98% of their time.
What are the drivers of population health? Why now?
Well, I think the one of the fundamental drivers is the economics of the healthcare system. An unsustainable rate of spend by any reasonable set of standards anywhere in the world. America simply cannot continue to pour the kind of money they do into healthcare. Secondly, consumer expectations about what they can or cannot get from a healthcare system have changed dramatically. Consumer education, consumer expectations, consumer preferences. People want to know as much about what can you do for me when I'm not sitting in front of you with an ailment as they would like to be informed about what else is available to them. Payers are driving the changes, and the policy environment is all combining to make this not a blip, but I think a fundamental change in the way healthcare is delivered in the United States. And I might add, more consistent with the way it is delivered across the world.
And so, fundamentally, are we talking about the shift from fee-for-service to at-risk payment models?
That is the underlying notion of population health, which is the entire population is at risk, therefore the entire population must be managed, and it's the costs associated with the entire population that you have to be mindful of. And fee-for-service, which is, you know, perfectly designed for that single episode, is going to become more and more irrelevant in the future. It's not going to happen tomorrow, but if anyone thinks that it's not on a permanent change basis, I think it's really making a policy mistake.
Are we looking at the total cost of care and then the care across the entire continuum? Is that what you're referring to?
I think it's the total cost of care, but I also think we have to examine the total burden of care and the total burden of health improvement that comes from the community, not just from the providers. I mean, for example, you know, if the school board is not involved in some important way in the design of a system that at the very least does not harm schools in the shadow of a freeway, that does not harm, and at best does something to improve the health status of the population, or certainly contributes to the improved health status of the population.
And much of what we talked about today really relates to the social determinants of health. Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
I can, and I think it's one I feel strongly about. I think it's one of the most overlooked contributors to this discussion. The built environment really has as much to do with the circumstances facing an individual or a family as does the existence of a hospital, whether it is violence prevention, whether it is adequate schools, good parks, nutritional outlets that provide the proper set of choices for an individual or a family. And I think all of it adds up to a set of determinants that all of us have to become familiar with and help manage as we continue this move towards population health management.
And you have a lot of experience in California, which is often seen as a bellwether for care delivery in the United States. You have Kaiser, you have other advanced systems there. You know, what have you learned about population health in California that may have relevance to the rest of the United States?
The best population health programs involve the community in which the providers sit. And that means going beyond community benefit plans and focusing on community health improvement plans. And I think California has a very, very good reputation for pushing in this direction. But I also want to point out that any organization that is pushing this direction has a large lift when you consider the economic incentives that presently and for the foreseeable future still are going to have us straddling both worlds.
And how do we manage that going forward?
I think there's a set of things that if you're serious about making a commitment in this regard, you have to understand that it's a culture transformation, that there has to be a governing board appreciation and commitment to this, IT systems, communication, the education systems, and by that I don't mean just the primary and secondary school education, I'm talking about the medical education systems have to be committed to this. So I think there are probably a dozen key elements of a successful population health program, and probably less than a third of them have to do with the people that actually provide the health care.
And the final question relates to the role of analytics. Some people call it big data. How important is that in population health management going forward?
It's the indispensable variable. If you're talking about population health, you're talking about big numbers, big populations. That means big data. That means big data analytics. What reimbursement was to fee-for-service, big data analytics will be to population health.
And Mark, thank you very much. Terrific discussion. Lots of insights and food for thought. So thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
For our listeners, for more information, visit our homepage at alvarezandmarsal.com and connect with us on LinkedIn at Alvarez and Marsal.